That's Madonna with the power of goodbye on Nova 103.5. Your life, your music. Yeah, I'm going to quickly chip into Carleen's show over here because I'm going to be chatting with a very important studio guest. His name is Tian Bazane. He is the CEO of the Namibia Stock Exchange. Now, for some people, that makes total sense, and for some, it sounds like complete Greek. Okay, so Tian, welcome. Good to have you with us today. I just think let's start off with the stock exchange. What is the stock exchange, and specifically, what is the NSX? That's our stock exchange here in Namibia, right?
Good. Thank you for having me. Yes, the Namibian Stock Exchange is the only stock exchange in Namibia. It is the marketplace where people that want to buy and people that want to sell shares actually come together on an electronic basis. People do that via their stockbrokers,
yeah,
where they can then buy or sell shares, and also where companies can raise capital. So that means that it's the company issuing new shares, and the money that's raised in that process capitalizes the company, not the people buying or selling the shares.
Yes.
So
yes.
Like last year, we had MTC listing where government was selling shares.
Yeah.
That was an initial public offering where everybody was given the opportunity to go and buy shares.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wants to buy shares, they would be going through a stockbroker, and somebody who wants to sell those shares now,
yeah,
can do that. And they've just issued their first dividend, which is available, which is going to go to all those,
yeah,
people that bought shares last year.
And multiples, if they're saying maybe 37 cents. So if you own one share of MTC, you'll get a check for 37 cents.
Yeah,
if
hopefully it'll be paid into your account.
Yeah. Back in the day, you used to get checks.
Yes.
Yeah, we passed that. Yeah, actually, you're right. And then,
yeah,
of course, if you have 1,000 of them, you'll get 1,000 times 37
that
cents.
That is exactly how that works, yes. So now what happens is people will take a view on that revenue stream going forward and saying, okay, so if I'm assuming the company's going to grow by X percent every year,
yeah,
then maybe that dividend's going to go up by so much. And then you determine how much are you willing to pay for that share now.
Yes.
And every year when those financial results come out, people do analysis on the companies,
yeah,
and they take,
yeah,
a view and they say, okay, to a price per earnings ratio, the price should be this over 5 years. And then,
yeah,
people take a view. And that's when you're taking long-term investment decisions.
Ah.
And not only on MTC, on all of those companies. And,
yeah,
we've got,
yeah,
primary listed companies. Those are our own Namibian companies that are listed here.
Yeah.
But we,
yeah,
also have dual listed companies. Those are companies,
okay,
from other jurisdictions that are also making their shares available here to be bought and sold.
On so our platform, yeah,
also
which is
on the NSX,
okay,
platform. So we have a dual duty. We want to deepen the Namibian capital markets. That means more Namibian companies,
yes,
coming to list, but also diversify to make more products and companies available to our investing public. So, for example, if you wanted to buy gold, you can,
yeah,
buy an ETF on the NSX that gives you the value of gold. So if the value of the price of gold goes up, then your investment goes up.
Yes.
Without actually having to sit and own gold and put it somewhere in a,
yeah,
vault. Because,
exactly,
it's being held internationally in a,
so
big,
you don't
vault
want to walk around and stuff lying
safe
at home and all of that stuff.
Exactly.
So, okay, but let's just, I think let's start at the very beginning. What is the difference between Joe Soap's fish and chip shop down the road and a listed company, because they're not the same thing?
No, well, the company itself might be quite similar, but the point is, if I go to Joe Soap, I can't buy a share in his company.
Because it normally belongs to him, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's normally a one-man or quite a small operation.
It could be even very big companies are not available for
they
the
prefer not to have
to
other people having an interest.
Sure,
right?
There are very, okay, big companies in Namibia that are still family owned or,
yeah,
primarily owned by the same people who have not taken that step to want to be a public company for whatever reason. I,
yeah,
think sometimes,
yeah,
they don't want to open up the decision making in the company.
Of course.
Sometimes they don't want to open their books and show how much money they're making.
And then, of course, the point being, if you are a one shareholder, you essentially have a say to some extent in how that company is run and decisions that are made by its management, right?
Exactly, yes. So in a public company, there would be an annual general meeting where every shareholder is entitled to attend, and he can make his voice heard, and he can,
yeah,
give his opinion as to how the company is being run and what's being done.
Sure.
You also have a board that actually runs the company, of which the majority of non-execs are independent people, and this is usually,
yeah,
the biggest thing. So when it's Joe Soap running his company, his voice is usually
nobody
law.
Tells him what
not,
the story
he's not,
is.
He's
he
not listening
decisions.
To anybody,
yeah,
else's advice. But in a publicly listed company, you do have this additional voices that become part of the decision making.
Yeah, yeah.
And all research has shown that actually improves the performance of the company over the long term.
But the point is, you can then also not really hide things.
No.
Because independence, and that's part of their duties, is to uncover if anything goes wrong.
Exactly.
So that when you start seeing, hang on, their problems, and they tend to be people who are skilled at business or,
exactly,
finance, right?
Yeah. So usually you want to have a board that is skilled in law, finance,
yeah,
business, and all of these, even IT, ICT type,
yeah,
depending,
yeah,
on the company. So those external voices are there to also keep an eye out to protect those investors. And that's partially what the exchange also does, is to see that the financial information is vetted and audited and correct, and that in events that are material that happen in the company actually must be disclosed. So that's the first thing. A private company doesn't have to tell anybody when things go badly.
But if there are shareholders, they are entitled to know. That is, for example, and that's why you'll often see, you can correct me if I'm not right, if you, for example, have earnings warnings.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they might tell people before, and hang on, things didn't go so well, so don't be surprised when...
Yeah. Because as soon as they start looking at the numbers, even before the financial statements are completed, when you look at the initial set of numbers, you get a sense of whether it's up or down or the same.
Yeah.
And then they can often put out those, they have to, not even they could. They have to, in terms of the rules, they have to put out those warnings to say, oh, it looks like it's going to be down, or it looks like it's going to be up.
Yeah. And of course, if you're then going to restructure a company, for example, you might take a financial hit because there tends to be money that you need to spend. If you're going to pay off a lot of staff, they might have to get packages or whatever the story is, and that's going to affect the bottom line.
Exactly. So there are specific rules around the financial information that must be disclosed, events that must be disclosed, etc. And again, that's often a reason why private companies don't want to go public. However, the truth is that we have lots of Namibian companies that could take this step. I wish they would. We've seen the banks come to market very successfully.
Yes.
I think there's certainly room for the non-banking financial sector that plays with our pension money every day to actually make themselves available for us to invest in as well. That's partially why we have so many dual-listed companies. We have these big groups that have made themselves available, but not necessarily the local subsidiary. There's certainly scope for the market to grow with those companies coming to market as well.
So we've now got to the point where we're actually going to be talking about. So you have a company that is Namibian, right? The shareholding... It doesn't matter what that's going to be, but it's a registered company. MTC is a registered company in Namibia.
Yeah.
All right? And that's why it's listed on our stock exchange. But companies, like you say, from from different areas or different, what did you call them?
Jurisdictions.
Let's say South Africa or, I suppose, Botswana, they would perhaps also want to be listed on here. But they're different from each other in the sense that you have two different rankings for them. You have two different market indicators for them, right?
Yeah, there's a fundamental difference. So these are the group companies. Let's say like First Rand.
Yeah.
Is FNB's parent company. That's listed in the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, but it's dual listed here. So you can invest in the group because it's dual listed. But we also have RMB being listed here.
Yes.
So that's the subsidiary also being listed here.
Okay.
I think we could see the same with many of the dual listed companies where their local subsidiary can also list and open up for local shareholding without just making it easier to buy into the group.
Yes.
That's the difference there. But on the dual listings, I mean, we have lots from all over the world. We have listings, and it's a good way
for them. Do they just apply? Does a company from overseas apply to say, I would like to be available on your stock exchange?
So usually it's for them to assist with their local information dissemination, because we have a stock exchange news service that puts out all the information. It goes to the newspapers, comes to the news to discuss, as in your case. But we're in a position where we need more proper local companies to come to market because we have a large pension fund base and captive capital that can invest into those companies as per our pension fund regulations. But it's also, you know, it's beneficial even on a dual listing basis. When you have staff share schemes and the likes, you don't want to, if you're working for an Australian mining company and you're getting staff share schemes, you don't want to go and trade that in Australia. You want to be able to trade it here.
Trade it here.
So there's a lot of benefits to this thing in the bigger picture. But yes, those companies come and apply. They say, look, I'm already listed in Toronto or Australia or Johannesburg, and I want to also make my shares available on the Namibian Stock Exchange.
Sorry, Tian, I'm not normally on air this time of the day. That's why it's going absolutely crazy. And of course, you'd think that people would stop dialing when you can't talk to them.
Maybe they've got questions.
They might have, and it could very well be. I wouldn't actually be surprised because, I mean, this is interesting stuff. All right, but does it work the other way as well? Let's say, for argument's sake, Capricorn Group, the parent company of Bank Vintook. Could they list dual list at Johannesburg Stock Exchange, for argument's sake?
Yes, absolutely, they could. And we've actually had Trustco, who initially listed on the Namibian Stock Exchange. And then the Johannesburg Stock Exchange at the time created something called the Africa Board, where they were trying to bring in all African countries, companies to kind of become a one-stop shop. That didn't work particularly well. So Trustco was dual listed on that one, and then they moved their primary listing to the JSE while still being dual listed this side.
Okay.
We also had Nictus, was the first listing in Namibia. They were already listed on the JSE initially when the NSX started.
Speaking of which, when did that happen? When was it founded?
That's our 30-year anniversary.
30 years?
Yeah. So just after independence, a bunch of local companies put money into a trust, donated money into a trust to create our own stock exchange. That's how it started.
Because obviously before that we weren't independent, so
Johannesburg Stock Exchange was doing everything. So Nictus was there, then they dual listed on the NSX as well, and then what they did was they actually broke the company up. The South African operations are listed as Nictus South Africa, and the Namibian operations are listed as Nictus Namibia on the NSX.
All right.
So you've got this cutting both ways. That's how it works.
And obviously, the more of your local companies, especially the big players, the more of them you can have that is listed here, the more options for shareholders to get involved with local businesses. That's essentially what it
because
is.
Because it's easier to invest locally. You understand the political and economic landscape locally much more than you can understand what's going on in America or Europe or wherever. That there you need a lot more advice and understanding. But if you're operating a business in Namibia, then you've probably got a good sense of what the banking setup is like and who's doing what and who's doing well.
Yeah. So but you also know the stories that are running around that might affect you. I mean, I don't know in South Africa how much is known of, let's say, Fish Rock, for argument's sake.
Exactly.
But here we know what it is. So if there was fishing companies listed, you could know that it might be affected or not.
Exactly.
But at least, you can have actual your own information
and not just rely on a specialized advisor. Yeah, you're still going to have the benefit of that specialized advisor, but it's always easier to invest locally where you understand more of what's going on. I can't try to understand what the Fed is going to do in America today or tomorrow.
Sure.
But I can probably have a view that Bank of Namibia was going to raise repo rates, which they did this morning.
I believe that the American one was going to do the highest they expected. The highest
basis points.
Was it 75 basis points? That's the highest since 94.
That's the thinking currently. But that's my point. I have no idea what they're going to do or how they're going to do.
We're following a trend. We're looking at what's happening.
I could have guessed that we were going to have Bank of Namibia raise repo rates.
Is that because of inflation? Are they trying to cool the economy down? Surely not. I mean, we don't have a great growth at all.
No. What's happening in our case is we're basically normalizing our lending rates back to pre-COVID levels.
So those
got cut to pieces during COVID to try to alleviate financial pressure on the people on the ground who were struggling the most. So we're normalizing that now.
When you drop the interest rates, you're of course making debt cheaper. So you're helping the man in the street who has to pay a lot of things and maybe on one salary now rather than two.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's now kind of putting it to where it should actually be.
Back to normal.
I think that's
again, the Bank of Namibia would be better positioned to answer that.
Yeah.
But I believe we're moving more towards a normalized interest rates environment in Southern Africa as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we've seen South Africa do the same.
It's interesting stuff. Right, so basically dual-listed companies, different jurisdiction, but they are listed there and they are listed here, and they can be traded locally,
of
course, as well. That's the other important part.
Yeah.
Now, the listings on the NSX, because I've got the website open here, you have the local listing, and then you have the overall one, right?
Yes, those are the indices.
Yeah.
So you can see the performance of those local companies versus the whole blended batch with all these dual listed companies, and it's interesting, they're not always correlating.
Yes.
Sometimes you have Namibia being much more stable or more of the same versus more volatile indices that we're seeing from Johannesburg Stock Exchange as well as the Australian, Toronto, Mauritian companies that we have on the overall.
And then just a question, if you take, for example, the NASDAQ in the United States now. Is that because a lot of tech companies were on the main board and they decided to start a separate board for that? Or how does that work? How does that decision get made?
See, there are multitude of indices all over the world that are oftentimes investable, that you can actually just invest in the index through an exchange-traded fund. NASDAQ certainly saw the opportunity when the tech growth was coming through to create a new index that was much more tech-laden versus the S&P 500 that was much more the old oil companies,
yes,
you know, the historic big companies.
Yeah, the big ones, big ones.
Sure, the Standard & Poor's put together that index. So NASDAQ created their own, which was much more tech heavy, and that's giving you an interesting mix.
Okay, well, that, I mean, it's, you always see these things and you wonder, how did somebody make a decision to do that? All right, so at the moment, like we said yesterday, quite volatile share prices because people in America were waiting for the Fed to now announce what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we keep talking about it. We do financial stuff every now and then. You know, the market hates uncertainty. And, of course, with COVID now, the whole world is topsy-turvy.
Yeah. And that was interesting. America, their markets reacted quicker than the rest. They came out of the slump quicker.
Yeah.
Mostly because the Fed was printing so much money. And now the opposite is happening. Now that liquidity is being pulled out of the market because they're not only raising the rates, they're actually buying back some of the bonds and the issues that they had done when they were printing money. That's why you're seeing a substantial drop in those indices as money is being pulled out of the American economy and flowing, well, who knows where.
Yeah.
Probably some to Europe, some to Asia, and hopefully some to Africa again.
But
because the developing markets were the first to lose the investment, but they're the last to see the investments coming back.
Coming back again.
And that's where we have an important role to fulfill and story to tell. So whether it's the NSX or whether it's the investment promotion board, whoever's out there to show where we are in this process, because on the street, I think everybody's gotten to the point where COVID is not the biggest concern anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Businesses are picking up. Things are going back to normal.
Yeah,
but the investment in the rest of the world hasn't, we haven't seen that flowing back. We saw it flow out, but we haven't seen it flow back.
Yeah.
And that there's an information purpose to the exchange and everybody else involved to get the story out that we are open for business again. And, we've got Heineken making a substantial investment into breweries. That's actually a very good sign where we have big international companies wanting to invest and to buy a part of a company. That's good. We need more of that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we only want foreign companies involved in Namibia.
But they normally have a lot more money and cash.
We want the foreign direct investment. We need that desperately. So getting those funds to flow in and to start new businesses and to employ people, it's fundamentally key to the economy.
But the point is also that an investment like that from overseas shows that your fiduciary duty is being done. Your company is being run well by international standards.
Yeah.
And the NSX is doing its job in terms of regulation and getting the whole thing done and doing it properly.
Exactly. That I think it's a massive vote of confidence for everybody involved, from government to shareholders to board of directors, NSX, everybody else. They've taken a view that this is worth investing in, and that's very positive.
All right, there we go. So now the crystal ball comes out, all right? Assuming that we don't have another massive problem with COVID, for example, a terrible wave where we have to do lockdowns and stuff, let's not. Where are we going growth-wise in the economy this year? Are we about 1% or so? But it's positive, though, right?
Look, it's positive. Thank heavens for that. We've been in a recession for longer than just COVID.
It's actually a depression now, theoretically, if you look at the time that we've been negative.
Yes. So that preceded COVID. So
as much
as COVID didn't help, that's not where it started.
We were a couple of years back in where we were.
Exactly. So now we're seeing growth again, but that's coming off a fairly low base.
Yeah.
So we need much higher growth than what's being projected right now for us to get back even to where we were.
Exactly.
Never mind to move forward from that. So there's very positive news now on the oil and gas front and even on green hydrogen.
Yes.
And I'm glad to hear all of that, but that is still quite a long way away. We need growth now. So we need that foreign investment as soon as possible.
Sure.
And again, I'm hearing good things from the Investment Promotion Board, good things that the high-level economic panel was working on. If we could implement some of those things soon on the short term, we can start seeing the benefits of that. And that's where we all need to pull together and get those done.
Yeah, there's just, on the last note, we do often see that, unfortunately. Great ideas and so on, and proposals, but sometimes it takes time before we get it running.
We're very good at planning, but we're not great at implementation.
Yeah. The execution
of it
sometimes.
So I think if we can focus on that and hopefully things don't get sidelined with politicking in the next year or two, some of these things should go through regardless of what happens on that front.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully we don't lose momentum, but there's some good things that I think will certainly reap benefits in the short term.
Interesting stuff. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. The voice of Tian Bazane, of course, the CEO of the Namibian Stock Exchange. Now, you also know how it works. Well, I don't. But, you know, we have a better idea of when you see South African companies on the listing. You're like, hang on a second. It's like a friend of mine said to me, you're talking about this today now, but, you know, you can't play rugby for the All Blacks and the Springboks, but it's not quite the same thing, obviously. But thanks so much for spending time with us today. And I think we should do this more often. I know you're a very busy man, but, I mean, this is your lunch hour, right? So, I mean, but we'll definitely catch up with you again, Tian. Thanks so much for spending
time. Happy to do it again. Thanks. Cheers.